attention then towards the Scripture. Let's pray before we start. Our Father in heaven, we ask that all that is said and all that is thought this evening might together be uplifting and honoring to your name. May we encourage one another with what is said, and may our thoughts and attitudes together be glorifying to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your Bible and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to speak tonight on, I'm going to speak tonight, hopefully most of you will be listening, on the topic of a Christian, or the ministry, I should say, of a Christian. And in case you haven't really gathered it, I've been doing a huge emphasis in the times that I've spoken on purpose and what we are to be about as Christians. And tonight is no exception. And Paul boils down the topic of ministry as a Christian to something very specific and very wonderful. And it may be something that catches many of you off guard as to, he really says that is what we're supposed to be about? Well, it is. Let's try to discover that together. We have 4 points in front of us. I'm going to go from verse 7 of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians all the way through the end of chapter 4. Now, granted, I am not going to hit everything that I can hit in this material, but there is something very specific I want us to see. I enjoy being able to look at a whole passage and pick out what is the main themes that is going through this. What is this train of thought? Not every gem, but what's the riches that may be mined from this passage? And I believe there's 4 points that I really want us to see tonight. In talking about the ministry of a Christian, we're going to start out with the glory of the ministry. This is the end of chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. This is the wow, the glory of a Christian, the wow. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved on letters of stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There is so much there, but let's concentrate on the aspect here where Paul is comparing the old covenant and the new, the old ministry and the new ministry, which we now have as Christians. And that ministry, he says, is glorious. It's a wow. So what he latches onto here is the story of Moses, how he went up onto the mountain or into the tent of meeting to meet with the Lord. And when he would come out, his face would shine. And the people of Israel could not look on his face because of the way it shone. And so Moses would wrap a veil around his face to keep the radiance from blinding those around him. And Paul says, you know, the old covenant was kind of like that. It came with glory and yet it was fading. It was glorious, and yet it was veiled. And the truth was veiled. The glory was veiled away from the people. And so this is the fading nature of the old. This is what it was all about, Paul says. He says it brought death. It condemns. Remember last week I mentioned how the old covenant, the law, its purpose was not to give life, but to really show us our lack of life, to show us our nature before God as being lost. The old covenant brought death and condemns in verses 7 and 9. It brought death, it condemns in verse 9. It fades and is temporary in verse 11. And it is like the veil which conceals but does not reveal in verse 14. It does not reveal the true glory of God. However, he says the new ministry which we now have is even greater than the old. The old did come with glory, but the new is so much more. It brings life and righteousness in verse 9. It outshines the old. Look at verse 11. If the what was fading came away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? The new ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of the Christian, has a glorious and great ministry which removes the concealment. Look at verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then in verse 17, it brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I really wanted to hit that in brief, the end of chapter 13 here, because I really wanted to concentrate on chapter 4. Because chapter 4 is perhaps what I think is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I read this chapter over and over because of this theme. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. What ministry is it that we have? Our glory in the ministry is that we, look at verse 18 of chapter 3, we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, there's two things here. We have a ministry of reflecting the glory of the Lord, so that when others look at us, the ministry that we have is being Christ to a fallen world, reflecting the glory of the Lord. And more than that, it's not that the glory that is for us is like Moses that faded. It is increasing in glory. We are becoming more and more like Christ, or we should be, I should say, as we go through life, an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That is the ministry that we have, reflecting the glory of the Lord and growing in the glory of the Lord so that we might be Christ to a fallen world. And so what is the ministry? It is a glorious ministry, a ministry that is greater and grander than the ministry that existed in the Old Testament. This is, as I might shorten it up, the wow. Number two, the boldness of the ministry. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. This passage was the passage used by a preacher named Alistair Begg. And he is one of the most amazing preachers I've ever heard in my life. I believe he pastors a Presbyterian church in Cincinnati. And he's Scottish. That may be why I really like this passage, because every time I read this, I can't get that accent out of my head. Therefore, you know. But the words, they're alive, not just because of the accent that we read them with, not because of the way that we read them, but because of what they are in our lives. We do not lose heart as Christians because we have this ministry, the ministry of reflecting the glory of the Lord. We do not lose heart, but we renounce secret and shameful ways. We have boldness in truth. If the glory of the ministry is the wow, the boldness of the ministry is the pow. You know, like Batman. You know, you see those old Batman shows, you know, and Robin and Batman, they jump out of the Batmobile. There's the bad guys. They walk up to him and go, and then the big pow. That's what we're talking about here. This is the boldness of the ministry. The giant word that says pow. Boldness in the truth. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We talked a little bit about Gnosticism a while ago. Now, if you remember, Gnosticism was a system of philosophy that worked its way into many religions. And when it came into Christianity, what it said was the physical world, what's around us, is evil. And the spiritual world is what is good. And many writers in the New Testament, John in particular, and many others, spoke against that concept. But there's another tenet of Gnosticism that I believe Paul might be actually taking a swipe at here. And see, Gnosticism means knowledge. It comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. And what they would say is that they have some sort of secret knowledge, a special knowledge, a special privilege before God, that they've received a knowledge that no one else has. Secret ways. And when you became part of the Gnostic cult, is really what it was, they would do secret rituals and sort of odd baptisms that would try to give to you this secret knowledge. And what Paul is saying here is we're not doing that. We're not using secret ways. We're not using underhanded ways. We're not coming in through the back door trying to sell you something up front, but really smuggling in something else. We've renounced those secret and shameful ways. We're not using deception. We're not trying to trick you. But we set forth the Word of God plainly before you. We have boldness in setting forth the truth before you. Not the deception, not the lie, but the truth. The message, then, is out for evaluation and correction. Flip back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 is a great example of this. Paul's not using trickery, he's not using deception, he's not trying to fool anyone into thinking that he has the Word of God when he really doesn't. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Well, I'll start in verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You see what he's doing in his ministry? Paul goes from town to town. And here at Berea, I can almost see him, can't you? In the synagogue saying, this is the truth. Look it up. Use your scriptures. Read through the Old Testament. And see how Jesus Christ fulfilled scripture after scripture after scripture. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. This is what he did. Now look it up. Search it out. Find out the truth. I'm not smuggling in something through the back door. This is what God has been preaching to you all along. It is set for you, set forth before you plainly. And I am convinced that Paul did it with boldness. Let me make a mention here that this is what we also must do. We must search out the scriptures. Because the truth that is from God is not secret or shameful or an act of deception, but the truth that is from God always conforms to this book. We must search it out. We must seek to find whether what we are trying to do, what we believe to be the right thing, is in line with what God has said. There is a veil. In verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The veil here that he is talking about is the veil of the Old Covenant, just like in chapter 3. The veil is those who are holding on to the Old Testament and rejecting Jesus, holding on to the Old Testament. And to do that is like rejecting the person to hold on to grasp a hold of, a dirty mirror. Remember what Paul says in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, now we see as in a glass darkly, then we shall see face to face. See, what he is offering is Jesus Christ. And so many people want to hold on to that mirror which is dusty and dull, reflecting, like Moses' face, reflected but faded the Lord's glory. Now the person of Jesus Christ is being offered, and so many reject that and turn towards the broken and dusty mirror. And that is truly a sad state of affairs, is it not? Is that not what we should be preaching boldly against? We should be teaching boldly against. Will you not hear and see the very Lord that is the one whom we seek to obey? Like John the Baptist, we must preach the truth. And people will come to hear because they're hungry for truth. John the Baptist, out in the desert of Judea, preached the truth. It was not a truth that was easy to hear. It went something along these lines. Repent. You're doing something wrong. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what does the scripture say? He's out there in the middle of the desert in pretty much the most remote area possible. The most unlikely area possible. If you want a following, you go into the city. But John the Baptist went out into the desert and people went out in droves. With a bit of hyperbole, the Bible says that the whole Judean countryside went out to hear him preach. And when Jesus was talking later, he said, when you went out to see John, what did you go out to see? A reed swayed by the wind? No, but then what did you go out to see? A king? No. Kings are in palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet. You were hungry for the truth. And John was preaching the truth with boldness. It got him in a little bit of trouble. But he preached it with boldness. People are hungry to hear the truth. And they will come to hear the truth if we will but preach it. But what is it that we preach? Verse 5 ought to be the motto of every seminarian going through to become an ordained minister. Ought to become the motto of every person who goes behind the pulpit. We do not preach ourselves. If we preach ourselves, what do people receive? What do they get? If I stand up here and I preach myself, what do you receive? You receive less than nothing because I am less than nothing. But I preach Jesus Christ. We do not preach ourselves. The power is not in the person who preaches. But the power is in the cross. Jesus Christ is Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So we are bold in preaching not because we are of any great worth, but because the message that we have is of great worth. So we have the wow. We have the pow. Now we need the how, don't we? The nature of the ministry. Verses 6 through 15. This is the heart of it. This is the meat of it. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Did you catch the how? See, we contain God's treasure, which is the gospel. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, caused his light to shine in our hearts. Our hearts were dark. We were filled with nothing good. And yet then God said, let there be light even in that dark place, the depths of our hearts. We contain within us the light of the gospel. Do you see the way that Paul uses the word here? What was the ministry of the Old Testament? It was like the light which was on the outside, radiating from the face of Moses, that was hidden by the veil. What is the ministry of the New Testament? The ministry of the Christian is the light that is within us. See, the light of the Old Testament was an outward light. The light of the New Testament is an inward light. We now have the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us, and it shines out from within. Notice it says the face of Christ in verse 6. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Moses' face reflected the glory, but Jesus really was the radiance of God's glory that is given into our hearts to cause light to shine out from within us. And so now this treasure, the gospel, is within us. We have this treasure. But how is that treasure? How is the ministry of God? How is our treasure to be spilled out for others? See, we have the treasure in jars of clay. What's the quickest way to get at the money in the piggy bank? You break it open. The ministry of the gospel, our ministry, is to reveal what is within us to the world. And one of the surest ways of doing that is for a crack to form and that light to just simply spill out. Our bodies, we ourselves, are the jars of clay. Remember the story of Gideon? He had his men, 300 men. He gave them each torches and a jar of clay. And what were the men to do? They were to hide the light within the jar and surround the camp secretly. And then all at once they broke the jars open. And the light that shone out all of a sudden really, really, really scared the Midianites. That's a very simple way to put it. For the Lord and for Gideon. A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. The light spilled out of its own accord once the jar of clay was broken. Show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, Paul says in verses 8 and following, he says, we demonstrate day in and day out. We demonstrate the glory of God, the gospel of Christ, through our suffering. We demonstrate it for others so that we live, and through our suffering for others, we demonstrate what it is that God has done for us through Christ. This is not the easiest thing for us to know. Because it means that we have been commissioned, as it were, to suffer for Christ and for others. We exist to be poured out for others, even as Christ was. Look down in verses 13 through 15. I'm sorry, look at verse 11 first. For if we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. That's it. That is our ministry. We are given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his glory, his life, may be revealed in us. And then in verse 12, death is at work at us, but life is at work in you. Do you see the exchange? That Paul says he is being poured out, as it were, as a drink offering, as he says in Timothy. I am poured out for the life of you, my Corinthian brothers. Reaching others with the gospel is our ministry. And it should be done no matter the cost. In verses 13 through 15, Paul says a number of things, but let's concentrate on one particular thing. We are broken for the benefit of those who hear the word, so that thanksgiving and glory is given to God, not to us. Thanksgiving and glory should never be given to us because of our suffering, because we are poured out for others. But rather in verse 15, Paul says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God, not to us. So now we know the wow, the pow, we know the how. And now, point four, we have the reward of the ministry, which is the eternal riches that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verses 16 through 18. Verse 16a, therefore we do not lose heart. What a statement. He says that before in verse 1. We do not lose heart. You see, we are broken, we're spilled out, we're crushed on every side, but we don't lose heart. Because what we are doing is simply the death that is in us is being broken away so that God's life may spill out more and more abundantly. We are turned over to death, but yet others are built up in life. We do not lose heart. We have perseverance and confidence through trial. What does James say? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you undergo trials of many kinds. Pure joy. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and that is not simply for our gain, but for the gain of the world, that they may see and understand that we have this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And then we have, so that's reward number one, the perseverance and confidence through trial. Reward number two is inward renewal. 16, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What a thought. The ministry of the Old Testament was fading. It had no ability for us to grow in our relationship, really, with God. It simply was a ministry of death, revealing in us what was wrong. And yet now, through the Spirit, we have this life within us that grows day by day. And our inward parts, our spirit is renewed day by day. The knowledge, this is through the knowledge of who is with us and what we have. And we grow in life as we go through life. I kind of like that thought. We grow in life as we go through life. See, some of us think that once we hit about, 28 is so-called the pinnacle of physical life. Once you hit 28, that's the pinnacle. That's the summit. You grow until you hit 28, and when you hit 28, that's as strong as you'll ever get. That's whatever, and it's all a downward slope from there. I'm sorry if that's bad news to some of you. But that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying you grow until you hit a certain point and then it's decline after that. But we are being renewed. We are being given new life and growth day by day as we go through life. Because what is truly life all about? Life is all about that relationship with God. Jesus says, John 17:3, if you haven't heard me quote it before, you'll hear me quote it again. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's about that relationship we have with the one who gives life. And as we go through life, we grow in that relationship. And we grow truly in life, even as we approach death and are persecuted on every side. So that's two. Reward number three is the eternal glory with Christ Jesus. For our light and momentary troubles. I like how he says that. Light and momentary troubles. We might think that the troubles go on forever. They're light and momentary troubles. And they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see the image? We are in a race. And we are striving not for the goal that we can see, but the goal that we see by faith that is kept in heaven for us. We are striving for a goal of being with Him in glory. And that is the great reward that is still ahead of us. We are assured that the true value of what we possess is internal. It is in our spirit with the Holy Spirit. And it is not external like the glory that was on Moses' face. We are assured that what we have to offer others is that which was truly valuable. And inside of us, we have been reassured that by Paul that when the Christian minister, which is really all of us, this is all of our ministries, not just those who are paid to do it. When the Christian minister comes to die, the reward is not going to be fading. It is not going to be temporary. But the reward is going to be eternal. And it is going to be an ever-increasing glory. The glory of the ministry has been internal, lasting, so that the results of the ministry may be eternal and lasting. See, our ministry is to be poured out into death so that the world may live. That is what we are celebrating this week. We have two missionaries who will be with us, one from the UK and one from Chile. They have offered themselves to God. Imagine what else they could have done with their lives. Imagine the money that they could have made in our free society. The money is always there for the making in our society. For someone who has a mind to do it and the intelligence to do it, we can make tons of money. And yet, these two have decided to go to these other countries and be poured out. What did Jim Elliot say? Jim Elliot, who went to South America and poured himself out in death for the Aucca Indians. That man could have made hundreds of thousands of dollars in his lifetime. He was a brilliant young man. Yet he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We have light and momentary troubles. They plague us day in and day out, yet we do not lose heart because our ministry is to shine forth all the brighter the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is who we are and what we are to be about. That's the the wow, the pow, the how, and the eternal riches that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask that you might, through us, minister to the world. We are to be representatives of you. Not just those who are missionaries, but all of us. We are to be representatives of you to a world that is lost and dying. We ask, Lord, that you would give us your Spirit and teach us how to be more like Christ so that we can fulfill that commission. Lord, I would ask that if there are any here today who are, even among the young people, called to be missionaries, that you would work on their lives, that they would realize that they give up nothing that they can keep anyway, but they are gaining an incredible reward with you in paradise. Father, would you minister to all of us as we suffer through life? May we go through life as the attitude, I am not here just suffering from my own accord, but I am to be poured out as a drink offering for others, that they may see Christ in me. Lord, may you renew our hearts day by day as we trust in you and grow in our knowledge of you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good evening.